All right, it's good to see everybody. Today's message is going to be part two on our series, Blessed to Be a Blessing. So last week, we looked at Abraham and how God called him, and he became the father of the Jewish nation. And one of the promises that God made to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your name great, I'm going to make you into a great nation, even though he and his wife didn't have any children. And he promised, through you, all the peoples, all the different ethnic groups on the face of the earth will be blessed. So that's really an amazing promise. And on your outline, the first point is blessing all peoples is God's idea and plan. So it's in God's heart to favor people, to help them, to bless them. So our job is to what? Get in on it, right? So that's why we're making this effort. So our kind of mission strategy or our principles for us are the word bless. B, begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat with people. S, serve people. And the second S, share your story of what Jesus has done in your life. So today we're going to look at listening and eating. And before I start on listening, I also want to point out, and this is point two on your outline, over 2,000 years after God made this promise to Abraham, it began to come to pass in a major way. And that's when Jesus left heaven, was born as a little baby, lived in obedience to the Lord, brought God's blessing in a big way. Jesus was constantly healing people, reaching out to people that were marginalized, helping those that other people ignored, refuting the wrong thinking of the religious leaders. And then finally, through his death on the cross, it says he became an atoning sacrifice. The punishment due to us fell on him, by which we can be reconciled to God. Excuse me. So that next point is Jesus' death provided reconciliation for all peoples. Paul wrote, God was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And one of the hardest things for people in our generation is to acknowledge that we have something wrong with us. How many of you don't like it when people point out what's wrong with you? Yeah, I mean, it's human nature, right? I mean, it's that, but the Bible makes it clear that ever since the first man and woman, people have turned away and disobeyed God in various fashions. So I love what Tim Keller said. Tim said, according to Scripture, you are a worse person than you really thought you were. Secondly, you are also more loved than you ever imagined. And it still seems extreme. But, you know, when you read the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus said, well, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. And everybody goes, that's right, we know murder's wrong. He goes, well, I say to you, if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. If you call someone a fool, you're just as much in danger of judgment from God as someone who's a murderer. And you kind of go like, what? And that's that shocker. But at the same time, God loves us. And since Jesus says he wants to bring people into relationship with himself. And so that's where listening comes in. All right, so I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. Father, I pray that we would get in on your plan to receive your blessing and then share it with others and really be a source of blessing, of good to the people around us. And I pray that your word would find a place in our hearts, help us go deeper with you, and help us to honor Jesus and how we live our daily lives. In his name we pray. Amen. So look, I'm going to take us to Genesis 21. This is the story of Abraham. So Abraham was promised a son when he was 75, and 10 years went by. He and Sarah were still unable to have a child, and so Sarah said, you know what? This just isn't going to happen. So here, take my servant woman, Hagar, and you can sleep with her. And if she has a child, we'll call that child to be mine. And so that's what Abraham did. Hagar, the servant woman, did have a child, But as you can imagine, that didn't really work out too well. Hagar kind of thought she was better than Sarah and was sent away and then came back. And then finally, after 25 years, Sarah has a baby. And when the baby's weaned, they throw a big party. And Sarah sees, you know, Isaac, who's now probably like 16 or 17, kind of mocking the little boy. And she goes, "You got to get rid of this woman." And that's what happens. So, I'm sorry, what did I say? Isaac, I'm sorry. Ishmael, thank you. That's a big mistake. You don't want to get that. Ishmael is Hagar's son. So in Genesis 21, it's on your sheet. Abram got up early the next morning, prepared food in a container of water, strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with her son. She wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. She went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. "I don't want to watch the boy die," she cried, as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying. The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven, "Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him, comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. And it came to pass, as the angel told her, that Ishmael became a great nation. And so when I read this story, there's a part of me feels like, wow, this seems so harsh. And you're like, oh, she's getting sent away. And oh, you know, she just got some food and water and like, see you later. And you're just like, ah. And then God heard the boy crying. I love that. And so the testimony throughout history for God's people is that God hears the cries of his people. And that's the next point on your outline. So that means God also hears you. Scripture encourages us to talk to God, to communicate to him. Prayer is simply communicating with God. We can talk to God like we talk to each other. God hears your prayers. God wants you to be able to tell him everything that's on your heart. That's the next point. Psalm 62:8 says, "Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you." Psalm 34, it's on your sheet. David said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord," what? "Heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." David also wrote, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And so that's why we always have something we can offer to people, because people are crushed. Life is hard for many, many individuals. And we can try and encourage them that God loves them. God wants to hear what's on their heart. God wants to try and help them get on the right path. We were designed to have a relationship with our Creator, and that requires communication. So we need to listen. But the point this morning is God listens. He hears us. I believe it was Gidget in our church some years ago was talking about how she works in the deli down at Star Market. And so she has a lot of regular customers. She sees the same people every week. And she'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And people start telling her like what's going on in their life and all their problems. And I'll never forget Gidget saying, "Everyone needs someone to listen to them." I'm like, yes, go Gidget. Everyone needs someone to listen to them. And it reminded me, there's a study years ago where they took this study group. Half the people went to see a professional psychiatrist, and half the people in the study talked to friends or family that they had about the issues in their lives. And they found that people who had someone to listen to them actually fared just about as well as someone who went to a professional psychiatrist. Why? Because people need someone to listen to them. Listening is a way to love someone, okay? And listening, point six, is one of the greatest gifts you can give to someone. Do you believe that? How many of us like it when someone will listen to us and actually pay attention and actually care about what's going on? There's something in us. We're designed that way. I just read an article a couple months ago where the writer's saying there's an epidemic of loneliness in America today. And he made the point, never have we been more connected as Americans, social media, cell phones, yet never have we felt lonelier. And it's because the connection's at a superficial level. So this was a study of 20,000 people by Cigna Health Insurance Company. Half of the respondents said they felt alone or left out if some of the time. 56% reported they sometimes or always felt as if the people around them, quote, are not necessarily with them. Right? You know, like you're talking to somebody at the table and one person's like, you know, texting on their phone. How with you are they when they're doing that? Not very much. 40% said they lack companionship and that relationships aren't meaningful. And UCLA came up with a loneliness scale. It doesn't describe how they determine that, but they found most Americans are considered lonely by that scale. So that's your next fill-in. So that's really sad. This reminded me, during an Alpha some years ago, there was a young man who came over to my house. There was only like four or five of us came over every week. And when Alpha was winding down, there's only a couple weeks left, he's like, wow, he goes, I'm really going to miss Alpha. I said, oh, that's nice. I said, why? He said, like, you guys are like the only real friends I have. And we were all kind of shocked. We're like, well, what do you mean? You tell us about, like, you go bowling with guys, and you're the one, like, taking down the bets and everything on the bowling and different fun things. He goes, yeah. He goes, all of that is just superficial. He goes, this is the only place where I have meaningful conversations with people. So having meaningful conversations, listening to others, is really important. And it's something that's very needed in our society today. Dave Ferguson, a preacher, said, we live in a world where hardly anyone really listens. Now, see if this describes you. Most of us are more interested in what we have to say than what someone else has to say. And we're too busy thinking about what we're going to say next so that we're not really hearing what the person's saying to us. Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me. This is something I've had to work on in my life. I can remember times being like, sometimes this happens like in a small group, so you're even just like studying the Bible. And somebody makes a point, and you're just like eager, like, I can't wait till I make my point. So you're not really like trying to like think more about what the other person said. You just want to say what you want to say. So having said that, number eight, we can all learn to listen better. Can we say amen to that? In a marriage course, there's an Alpha marriage course, and they teach communication skills. And one communication skill is when someone's talking to you, that before you respond or try and make your point or be defensive or whatever is going on, you actually pause and say, so what I hear you saying is this. And then you reflect back to the person what they said to show that, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. This is like husbands and wives are looking at each other right now. Yeah, this is part of the marriage class. But that's a very important skill to develop. Like, we should all learn to do that. So I'm preaching to myself. This is something I want to grow in myself. The point is, listening's a big way we can help people in our society today. One of the prayers you can add, we're praying, Lord, who can I bless today? We could add to that, Lord, help me to listen and discover the needs of someone else. Because when you learn to listen to people, you find out what's going on in their life. And then you find out, oh, they need help here. Or you find out what people like and dislike. You find out the challenges they have or the hopes that they have. And so as believers, we want to be careful listeners. So in order to bless people, find out what their needs are. Then it's very easy because you go, oh, I can do this to help this person. Does that make sense? So one last story. At this Revive consignment store, at our Jubilee Church in Atlanta that I mentioned earlier today, they have lots of workers, lots of people from the church work there. Some are paid and some are volunteers. And so there are like dozens and dozens of people coming into this large store. And they interviewed people, and this one lady said, whenever I need some therapy, I just come here to Revive because I know people will listen. Isn't that great? I mean, it just made me so happy. She's got this big smile on her face. She's found a family. That's what she's found. She's a person without a family, and going to this Christian store has become her family. Praise God. All right, we also want to look at eating. How many of you enjoy eating? All right, here we go. So this should be one that like we're really positive about. Eating with someone is a great way to get to know them and to build a relationship. In an age of loneliness, eating and listening is a wonderful way to bless other people. In Matthew 9, it's on your sheet at the bottom, Jesus called Matthew, who was a tax collector. Tax collectors were despised back then. They were seen as traitors, helping the Romans. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." It's a profound statement. I desire mercy, not sacrifices. I've come to call people who know they're sinners. And those are the people God can help. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they inherit the kingdom." In Middle Eastern culture, which is the culture of Scripture, serving someone who's your guest, eating with them is how you honor them. It's how you make them feel welcome. It's an essential part of their culture. There was another tax collector, Zacchaeus, and when Jesus said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, we're going to go to your house today," what was his response? He's thrilled. He's overjoyed. Yes, he brings in, invites all his friends. You know they had food. I was visiting our friends Matt and Becca over in the Middle East last year. And the next door neighbor, the wife came over to Becca and said, "Becca, you're a bad neighbor." And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like, what have I done?" "You have guests and you didn't tell me." And so Becca said, "Sorry." So we got invited over to their house. Guess what we had? Food, okay? They fed us. We had food. We ate together because that's what they do. And you know what? When you eat a meal with someone, you feel close to them. We just had this happen. Our daughter, Faith, is dating a young man. His parents came in from Michigan, so we had them over for dinner. Okay, so you're always a little bit nervous about dinners like that, right? They're very fine people, and we all hit it off, and we ate and talked, and we had a great time. So by the time they left, we felt close to them. We felt like, wow, we're like friends. It only took a couple hours. There's a power in eating together. That's why it's important. That's why it's something that we have to be intentional about. All right, so the last points are, did you get eating as a way to build relationships? And I added this next one. This is an easy way to bless others. You know why? We're all really good at eating. I have to commend Abundant Grace. You guys know how to eat, all right? You guys love it. You're good at eating. But you have to be purposeful. You have to think, with whom can I eat my lunch at work? At school, maybe kids, you go to school and there's kids who nobody else eats with them. Well, that's a person you should purpose. I'm going to eat with that person. I'm going to befriend somebody that nobody else befriends. Maybe there's somebody at the office that always eats by themselves. Say, "Oh, you want to eat together today? See what happens. Can we do that?" Well, a couple of you are. All right, someone's asking for number 9. Listening enables you to discover the needs of others. If you've been listening more closely, you might have like got that without me. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I read about this church. And just the idea, again, like outreach, like how can you connect with more people? Sometimes churches get ingrown, kind of like us. We love each other. We've got great community. But we've got to learn to, you know, connect with more people. They had some couples from the church, a couple couples from the church, and then they got like 3 or 4 other couples, friends of theirs, and they made a rotation that, like, for the next 6 or 7 weeks, however many people, each week they're going to eat at someone else's house. And that's what they did for, like, their small group for 2 months. What a great idea. So you can know after 2 months, those people felt really tight with each other. It's very simple. One church leader said this: if every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we could literally change the world by eating. But think about that. People are lonely. People don't get to eat with somebody else. And some of you do this already. You know, like you have people over. But I want to challenge us all. You know, maybe you might think, oh, I'm not really good at inviting people over. It feels uncomfortable. Hey, God wants us to get out of our comfort zones. He wants us to love people. Maybe you think like, oh, I don't like having people over. Well, then go out with somebody. Just go somewhere together. Maybe think, oh, I don't like cooking. Well, hey, order in, right? You can order Bertucci's, you know, anywhere you can go. You can get a pizza. But let's purpose to eat with other people. Build those relationships. Be a blessing. Why? Because we're blessed. Why? To be a blessing. Okay, amen. Harley, do you guys have a closing song for us, please? So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for my friends this morning. I pray that all of us, Lord, would have our hearts enlarged. Make us aware, Father, of people who are lonely. Lots of times people don't look lonely, but they are. Lord, give us courage to just invite someone over to eat or eat lunch with someone we don't normally eat lunch with. Jesus, give us your heart. Teach us to listen, Father. Help us to listen to others carefully. Be able to encourage them. Be a source of strength. Maybe meet a need. We pray this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.